Good evening. If you'd open your Bible to Matthew chapter 7, that was read moments ago. This is probably going to be one of the most simple lessons. But sometimes it's the most simple lessons that are the most beneficial. Because what we're going to learn tonight, just in a few illustrations, is that God is aware. And God is aware of what's going on in the heart of every man and every woman. And nothing escapes His notice. And because God is aware, we need to be aware. And we need to be careful. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7, Jesus makes this statement. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, it will be opened. Not everyone who asks, who seeks, and knocks are granted the opportunities. It's those who are sincere in heart. It's those who are a sincere seeker of the things of God. You see, these aren't just individual statements saying, well, if you'll ask, you know, if you'll seek, if you'll knock. They're a combination of the whole. You've got to keep asking. You've got to keep seeking. You've got to keep knocking. And the more you stay with it, God begins to open up opportunities for people to move forward. I want to come over to Acts chapter 8, and I'm going to show you an illustration here of how this works. Acts chapter 8. And show you the awareness of God in the lives of people. In Acts chapter 8, we're going to read a few verses about a fellow from Ethiopia. He was a eunuch. He had to be a proselyte. What a proselyte is, that is a Gentile who was converted to Judaism. And so he's been proselyted. He's been brought under the law of Moses. That's who this eunuch was. The eunuch was not saved. You have to remember that. He's not saved, but what you're going to see is the eunuch is asking, he's seeking, and he's knocking. And God is aware of everything going on in his life. Look at verse 26 of Acts 8. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. Philip is an evangelist. The Lord wants him to go south. That's coming on this deserted road. It's a road that's filled with ravines. It's narrow. It's not very, very well traveled. In fact, it's a desert road. It makes no sense why Philip's told to do this. Why would you be told by the Lord, get on this road? Well, it's going to in just a moment. Because what do we learn that the Lord is aware of that Philip's not aware of? See, the Lord knows something Philip doesn't. And so God knew there is a sincere seeker, there is a sincere knocker, there is a sincere person desiring, asking. And he needs a preacher. And God says, it's going to be on a deserted road. That's where the encounter is going to take place. Verse 27. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, think about his position. I mean, here he is in charge of the queen's treasure. He had to be trustworthy. He came from Ethiopia. He traveled over 1,000 miles to Jerusalem. As I said a while ago, he's a proselyte. He came to Jerusalem for one thing. He came to Jerusalem to worship. To travel for over a thousand miles to get there. It says something about his heart. God knows something about his heart, and God's got to get everything together in order for the eunuch to be able to respond. Verse 27. So he got up and he went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" I mean, the eunuch is reading Isaiah, an Old Testament prophet. Of course, that's all the scriptures that they had back here. But you know what he had? Apparently, he had an honest heart. There's a lot of people that read their Bibles. They read their Bibles daily. But that doesn't mean they have an honest heart in reading their Bible. God is aware of this eunuch. And God is aware that Philip carries the answers. And he's got to get the two together. Philip asks him if he understands what he's saying. By the way, just so you and I understand, Christianity has to be taught. Truth has to be taught. You just don't get it any other way without teaching. It had to be taught. Do you understand, verse 30, what you're reading? There has to be understanding for faith to come. Verse 31. And he said, "Well, how could I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. What is a quality you know about a person that is asking, seeking, and knocking? This man is humble. He invites Philip. "I need to be taught. I need guidance in this deal." He's teachable. He's not arrogant. He's not going to fight against the teachings. He is just simply humble. "Would you teach me?" Continue on, verse 32. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shear is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." He's reading Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. This humble man is trying to find out. He's reading about a fellow that's being led like a lamb to slaughter. And he wants to know, verse 34. The eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom did the prophet say this? Of himself or someone else?" There's something stirring in his heart. "I want to know." Notice he's not combative. He's not combating Philip on anything. He just simply wants to know. God is aware, and now Philip's in the position. Verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. From this scripture. You see, Isaiah 53 is about the death of Jesus. The whole chapter is. And Philip takes this opportunity and he preaches Jesus. You see, Jesus has to be preached. You're not converting people to religion. People have to be converted to Jesus. And God knows that. Verse 36. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" Somewhere in the teaching of Jesus, Philip had to be able to speak of baptism, or the eunuch would never have said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" A lot of people want to come through and they want to argue verses. Has not sincere a heart. Simply for the fact This is not Holy Spirit baptism because there is water involved. You know, people want to argue, well, it's going to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, you know. No. Somewhere Philip had to teach him. The eunuch is making a response. Here's God. Out of all the people on the earth, one fella on a deserted road, one fella that had an humble heart and was a seeker, was knocking and was asking. And God supplied what he needed to save his soul. You know, it's interesting in Acts 8 here, there's not a lot of other verses, or there's not a lot of other verses around here where other people are being converted right now. Not a lot of conversions at the moment. Well, if you'd come on over with me to Acts chapter 10, let me give you a second illustration. A fellow by the name of Cornelius. Cornelius is a Gentile. Cornelius is an outsider. And Cornelius is lost. And God is aware. But there's something about the heart of Cornelius. Look at verse 1. Now there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man, and one who feared God with all of his household, and he gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. I mean, notice his attitude toward God. I mean, he gave alms to the Jewish people. He's a Roman. He's part of the Roman army. He's a commander in the Roman army. You're not going to let that fella come walking into the Jewish temple. But he gave alms to the people, to the Jewish people. And he prayed to God. He said he was a devout man. He feared God. And his fear of God had an effect on his household. God knew something about Cornelius that no one else knew. You see, Cornelius is going to be the first Gentile convert in this ordeal. Look at verse 3. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, "Cornelius." And fixing his gaze on him and being much alarmed, he said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God." That would be good news to hear. Now, I want to say one thing about this. You always hear people today talk about the Lord spoke to them. The Lord came to them. They see a vision or they have a dream. I want you to notice when God has an encounter with people, it alarms, it shakes them up. It's not just a casual, "Hey, thank you, Lord." I mean, it alarmed, he says in verse 4, it alarmed Cornelius. And in the alarm, notice the thing he asked. What is it? What is it? Well, the first thing I want you to know, your alms have ascended as a memorial, and your prayers have been heard. But that doesn't mean you're saved. He's just setting groundwork, verse 5. Now dispatch some men to Joppa and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. You need to bring Peter over. Now, at the same time, Peter is over in Joppa. Remember, he has a similar vision coming down to him. Now, what's God aware of that Peter is? Or he's not? Peter's not aware of what's going over here in Caesarea. Peter's over here in Joppa. He's over here with some Gentile or some Jewish brethren. They're there, and the Lord has to appear to Peter. He lets the sheet down three times, and he explains to Peter that whatever God's cleansed, don't you call unclean. And he's telling Peter, you're fixing to be asked to go somewhere. Peter has no clue. Peter doesn't know what's about to go on. Look at verse 21. Peter went down to the men and said, "Behold, I am the one you're looking for. What is the reason for which you have come?" Now, you know what God is aware. Peter is a Jew. Peter would never have thought of going to the Gentiles. It has never crossed his mind. Even as an apostle, it hasn't crossed his mind to go to the Gentile. You know what God is aware of? God is aware Peter needs some teaching and understanding, and he's aware of Cornelius at the same time. Oh, look at verse 22. They said, Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you. What did they know they had to hear? A message. You can't come to truth without being taught. It has to be taught. Cornelius wasn't saved. Here's an outsider. Is asking. He's seeking. He's knocking continuously. He's offering his prayers. He has the fear of God. He's humble. All the other Gentiles that are around, Cornelius is so different. And we see it today where you'll see a person that is really sincerely seeking and looking. Years back, I was down in Uvalde, Texas. And I was holding a meeting there, a congregation of about 600 people. And during the course of the meeting, right out, looking just to my left, like right here, every night there was a fellow and his wife and his children sitting there. The people really weren't sitting around him too much, but he was there every night. Every night I tried to catch him and I couldn't. He had a different outlook about him when you would preach and teach. I mean, he looked like a man that was just soaking in everything. I never got to meet him. I asked people about him. They said they'd never seen the family before. The last night of the meeting, after it was over with, I was over at the people's house I was staying with. Phone rings. It's this gentleman. He wanted to meet with me. He lived two blocks up the street from where we were staying. Go down there and meet with him. You know who he is? He's a fellow broke off of a Pentecostal church. And he preaches for a little bitty group. And he wanted to know where I stood on salvation. And he looked at me that night and he said, "Do you believe Acts 2:38? Do you believe a man or a woman must be immersed by water into Christ Jesus?" I said, "Absolutely." He said, "That's why we left. That's why I'm preaching for this little group of about 30 people. Because they don't believe that." We sat for the next 3 hours. I thought of Cornelius. He wanted to hear. Out of all these people, my brothers and sisters in Christ, here was a man sitting. Why at this time? What did God know that I didn't know, that none of the other brethren knew? That man, God knew, was aware, and he needed to be taught completely. They ended up and they came together with the brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of the congregation he was at were baptized into Jesus. But I thought, wow, how did God know? I didn't. I look at us here. You know, God's blessed this congregation. Do you know that? I hope you know that. I want you to look around over the many, many years and look at the people that have been converted. I think of many of you. How did you get in touch with any of us? How did you come to know? What did God know about you that we didn't? Because there was a sincere hungering and thirsting. There was a knocking and an asking. and a seeking. Cornelius is the same way. He's got to hear a message. Look down at verse 33. He said, "So I sent for you immediately." Cornelius is speaking here. "For I sent to you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you've been commanded by the Lord." You know what is amazing about that statement of Cornelius? They're in his house. You know what Cornelius and his household are aware of? We are here present before God. There is something in the heart of Cornelius that he recognizes the presence of God, that's where they sit. And that's where being in a regular house, see, we're talking about a heart that is reaching out, and he wants to know, what have you been commanded to teach us? See, God's aware of the sincere and the non-sincere. Just because people read again, people study, doesn't mean they're sincere with it. Well, Cornelius, look at the attitude that he has. And God knew that. And he's got Peter there in the household. Peter has no clue, why am I doing in the household of a Gentile? God's saying, I'm fixing to teach some big lessons here. And so, when you have this attitude, when you have the right attitude, the right desire, you better know God's going to do something about it. Look down at verse 47, if you would, please. "Surely," Peter speaking here, "no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he?" And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. They asked him to stay on for a few days more. Here's the end result. Now, what's the point? God is aware of people, and God can provide the opportunities. You know what the problem is with us many times? We're not looking. We're not looking for the opportunity for God. Let me throw this out at you. How many of us in our prayers, how many of us pray for the opportunity to be able to teach the gospel to those that are outside? How many times do we spend time in prayer asking God to direct our steps to those who are sincerely seeking? God knows the hearts of man, every man and woman. And we need to realize that God can get us together if we're looking for the opportunity to be able to teach and preach what's true and what's right. We need to be that kind of people. We need to know that God's looking at the hearts of every man, of every woman. God wants to help. Every time the Word of God was confronted to these people, they wanted to hear. Now here's an application to us. Sometimes the Word of God comes to us in the church too, and it confronts us. And the Word of God is speaking, be careful. We don't want to fight against God. We need to be above all people, a people that are tender-hearted, that are always seeking, that we're always asking, and we're always knocking. And when we're confronted with the Word, we need to start making adjustments. That's how God can use us to those that are lost, to bring about the proper response at the proper time. We need to look for those opportunities. You know, just a simple lesson like this. You know what the Lord's doing to every single one of us? Starting with me. He's looking at our hearts. He's inspecting us. And he's seeing what's going on. And depending on what's going on in my heart, will depend on whether or not I'm going to make the next step to be able to understand deeper things of God, to gain greater faith in the Word, or it gets taken away. We need to realize God is aware. He's always aware. He can get us to the people. Pray for opportunities. Pray for doors to be open. And let's look for people that are diligently out there seeking. And in the meantime, for you and for me, let's make sure that we are hearing the Word of God. That we're listening to every step of the way, that the path that He wants us to be on, letting go of the things that hurt us and grabbing a hold of the things that will help us so we too can move forward. And we keep seeking and asking and knocking. I hope it helps, and I hope it moves us forward in our lives. I want to encourage us all.